Welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Sean, the natural vet, on our new show. We're here for 2 whole hours to answer any question you have about your pets. Our number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. We'd like to thank our sponsors and let you know we've invited these companies to be here because we believe in them and use them ourselves. Please show your appreciation for their support by becoming a customer yourself. And Whole Life Pet will send you a free sample box of freeze-dried protein treats for cats and dogs if you send me your mailing address to radiopetlady@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out all the wonderful live pet shows I co-host every week on our new network. Go to radiopetlady.com to see the schedule. Cat Chat and Dog Talk is a production of Eight Paws LLC, and Dr. Sean Messonnier, DVM PC, which are solely responsible for its content. Our number again is 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from you. Hello there, Dr. Sean. Sorry we're a little bit late starting, y'all. If you're out there wondering what happened to us, we're here. Sorry. Hey, Sean, how's your week been? You've been at a fancy vet conference.
I got to go to Phoenix, Arizona for a few days and had a blast.
Why don't you explain what it is that you do at a conference? I mean, how big a conference?
Oh, you know, that's a secret. I don't want that to get out.
Yeah, but
I might get in trouble.
It wasn't in Vegas this time. So you're like,
no.
how much trouble can you get into in Phoenix, Arizona? No diss on Phoenix, but I think it's kind of like very wholesome.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was very hot. I don't know what the temperature is where you are up north, Tracy, but I left Texas, and we were getting some temperatures probably in the 70-degree range, which is not bad for this time of year. 2 weeks ago, I was in Nashville getting snow and temperatures of 32. When I got to Phoenix, the temperature was a little bit above 90. So
ouch.
I got a little tan, did some walking around. My wife joined me. We went ahead and did a little mountain kind of hiking, climbing, which was fun. But really what I was there for was to talk to veterinarians about what we talk about on the radio every week, which is how to incorporate natural therapies into your practice. And the good news was we had probably about 100 or so vets, which doesn't sound like a lot.
No, that's good.
10 talks of different topics going on at the same time. That actually is a really good. So there was a lot of interest there. I talked to the vets one day. I talked to the technicians one day. So I think they got a lot of good information. We talked about my new book for vets and techs on nutritional supplements and just shared a lot of information. There was a lot of interest. So I think the good news is there are more vets that are interested in this. There are more techs that are interested in it. They just have to learn to do it and learn to incorporate it into their practices.
Well, that really is good news, because I know that a lot of our listeners, after they've listened to you for a while, think, I wish I could have a vet like Sean who, you know, can do the antibiotics and the supplements, can sort of do it all. So, in fact, we have a couple of questions tonight when we have breaks in between live calls about someone asking, how do you find a holistic vet? And that would be a really great question for you to answer. But before we go on to our little riff, I think it would be smart to give the number again to those of you that have any question. I know a bunch of you have been listening and hovering. I kind of like when people hover, don't you, Sean? They're hovering, they're listening, but they're not really dialing yet, and that's okay. Sometimes it's a little nerve-wracking to dial the number or to be on hold and wonder, what's this going to be like? Find out for yourself, 888-627-6008. We really would love to just say hi to you or answer any questions you have about anything to do with your dogs and cats. We might even talk about parrots if we get to that in the second hour, because one of Sean's fans wrote to him and asked about an African gray, and I'd love to know the answer. My father happens to have one. But we'll say hi to Jessica. Hey, Jessica, welcome to the show. I guess not. We're having telephone problems. We have got to go and deal with AT&T. You know, at the end of the day, Sean, they kind of own the world, and everything else is like kind of the dregs, I'm afraid to say. So, Jessica, I guess you have to call back because we're not able
to give up on us, Jessica.
Don't give up on us. We do want to talk.
There she is. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Doug.
Hey, sorry about that. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. You don't need to be sorry. It is definitely not your fault. We're just having a lot of technical we need vodka on our end. May I put that in? We definitely need the vodka shots, and our engineer needs one too. It's like, okay, what else cannot work? But we're here, and you're here. So, Jessica, hi. Is this Jessica, the wonderful Jessica Womack, or a different Jessica?
Yes, this is Jessica Womack.
Oh, cool. So you've never had a chance to introduce yourself to Sean yet, but this is a very cool person, Sean, who definitely you need to know. She's getting various degrees in all kinds of medical researchy kind of stuff, but she works at a lab, which isn't the point of her calling. I know this, but I just want you to tell Sean, because he's really into omega-3 oils and having a good level of them, especially for his patients with cancer. Explain about the lab you work in, which is really for humans, but I guess you could one day do things for dogs too. Explain it, because I know Sean will really be interested.
Oh, yeah. So I work at a place called Health Diagnostic Laboratories, and we focus on characterizing several different diseases through chemistry. But one of the things we look at is the lipidology, and specifically omega-3 index, your omega-6 index, and kind of how those ratios are playing into your risk for, you know, heart disease, metabolic syndrome, different inflammatory things going on in the body. And it's really cool stuff. I specifically work with the fatty acids, and we're all real big into the omega-3 supplements where I work. We even have a dispenser. It's like a bubble gum dispenser, except it's got omega-3 pills in it, so and it sits in our office, so we definitely are big promoters of that.
And so you can actually tell how much people have in their body.
Oh yeah, we can tell, you know, how much omega-3s. They give you like a number, and if your number is in, there's like the red zone, which is the bad zone, the yellow zone, and then the green zone. And you know, want to get your number up into the green zone. And usually they have certain recommendations about how many milligrams per day of omega-3s you should be taking. And then they look at if you've got a lot of omega-6s, maybe looking at, you know, what kind of diet modifications you can do to reduce that kind of intake, especially if you're, you know, eating out a lot or have a lot of, you know, carbs or butter and, you know, kind of things like that, grains are kind of omega-6 heavy, or they can be. So,
well, let me say something. You know, it's good that you bring that up, because actually I spoke about that this weekend when I was talking to the vets and the techs in Phoenix. We started talking a lot about fish oil, a lot about these different ratios. It's not something we're really doing on a regular basis at all for pets, although I do believe in the value of it. Certainly there's a lot of value for people. I know my wife's had her omega-3 6 levels checked after her little breast cancer scare a few years ago, and I think it's important to understand that. And one question I had for you, since you're doing this testing on people, I'm guessing you probably find that most people who come to you have really high levels of omega-6s and really low levels of omega-3s, which is really not what we want. Are you finding that out? You're finding a lot of bad fats in these people's blood?
Yeah, specifically the arachidonic acid and the palmitic acid typically will be the ones that flag the most, is what I see. Yeah.
Can you explain that to the rest of us, Jessica? Because you and Sean are like more knowledgeable about this, and I want to become more knowledgeable. I just sort of have listened to a lot of these geniuses like Joe Bardich from University of Tennessee, who's a big specialist in omega-3s in, I guess, mostly in animals, but we're really all animals. But the fact that you need to take this very high level, more than most people realize for themselves and pets, in order to saturate your cells. And Sean deals with a lot of pets that have disease, but particularly cancer. And his big concern, from what he's explained to me, is to get products that have a really high omega. Is it the omega-3 level, Sean?
Yeah, we really want some high omega-3s in there.
Okay. And so that's one of the things that you can find out, right, Jessica, from your testing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it what's really important is just to make sure that, you know, if you've got those omega-6s, you know, because they're so pro-inflammatory. And I think it's Dr. Donna Spector, was that who you had on recently?
Absolutely.
On Dog Talk? Or,
yes.
She did a wonderful job explaining how all of that kind of fits in. The omega-3s are the anti-inflammatory, if you want to say that, and they kind of keep each other in check. And
so let me ask you this. Is this a test that you offer for pets now, or this is just for the human side?
This is just for humans.
Why don't you contact me? Contact me via my email. Tracy can give it to you. You can get it through my website. I'd love to talk to somebody there if they think there's a potential to offer a test like this for pets. I'd be glad to try to work with you to validate what we would need on a clinical side and see if it's something we could start offering and maybe create it and actually try to market this to other vets, because I think it's very, very valuable. Rather than me guessing how much fatty acids to give, it'd be better if we knew it. But like I said, this has been a very much ignored part of pet medicine, and I think somebody needs to jump on this and work with it and work through it. So if your lab's interested in doing it, I'd be glad to work with y'all and see what we could do together.
Wouldn't that be cool, Jessica?
Yeah,
because Jessica's way into pet health.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we're expanding a lot, and I think the people the quote-unquote people upstairs are very open-minded to, new things to do. So
cool. That would be very exciting. That would be very exciting if, as part of this show, we took someone who was a great listener to Dog Talk, which is Jessica, and our new show, and Sean opens up all kinds of new doors and windows, Jessica, to what your profession is, or your profession is at the moment. You're going on to get graduate degrees and other stuff. But I think what you have to offer people, if Sean can help offer it to pets as well, because we don't really know. We say, we need a certain amount in the animal, but we don't know how well that animal's absorbing it, and we don't know what the animal's level is to begin with. I guess that's true of people too, right, Sean? I mean, you have an animal with cancer, their immune system's under attack. Maybe they aren't absorbing it as well, or they need twice as much because of that, right?
I think so. Tracy, as you're talking, my mind's going in multiple directions
I'll bet.
But let me ask you this, Jessica. Does your lab offer other testing, or is it just strictly fatty acid testing?
We offer lots of other testing as well.
Because what I'm thinking of it, get a hold of me offline. Like I said, I'd be glad to call you and talk to you or someone there. You know what I would love to put together, because no lab offers this yet, and this could be like you could have – basically own the market with this while I'm thinking of it. What if we put together like a cancer panel or a chronic disease panel of some fatty acid tests, a couple of other things that wouldn't hopefully be too expensive, but would give me tons of information where I can really fine tune my recommendations rather than just a generic use this much fish oil because this is what we think is going to work, but maybe it's way too low or too high. I'd love to have some sort of comprehensive panel in addition to a basic blood panel, which we can get at any lab, that we could really say, look, this is something unique. You can only get it here with Jessica's lab.
I love it.
And it'd be great. I just think there's so much need for this kind of thing.
I'm sure this isn't what – sorry, Jessica, go ahead. We have to be so careful on these lines that we don't interrupt each other, because then everybody stops and goes, uh-oh. So do carry on.
Yeah, I know. I was just going to say that's exactly what we do for our human patients, especially like metabolic syndrome and things like that. Yeah, that's how we're able to make our fine-tuned recommendations.
Well, we need something for pets, and of course pets and people are similar but not the same. So I'd love to talk to somebody there and maybe put together a really neat little package that we could do something with.
I love it. Jessica, I'm going to be
hooking
you two guys up. Jessica was somebody, Sean, who used the Adaptyl collar. They were so nice at SIVA. They gave her an Adaptyl collar, and she used an anxiety wrap at the same time on her little Yorkie, the cutest dog ever, Charlie, who had severe separation anxiety when Jessica moved, and he was not handling it well when she not only moved but then was gone all day at the new lab and working. And it worked pretty nicely for you, right, Jessica?
Oh, yeah. Charlie is a completely different dog. And, in fact, I ordered another anxiety wrap for Felix, our German short-haired pointer, because he doesn't really have separation anxiety, but he's very hyperactive and kind of doesn't really understand when to settle down yet. So I put that on him, and it's kind of like you can tell he just feels very comforted, and it's like, okay, we can all lay down and we can be peaceful at night instead of, running circles around the living room. And he does get exercise and he does get all those things, but at the end of the day, he's still very jazzed up. So
which I think
definitely takes the edge off of that too.
German short-haired pointers can be like that. And, you know, the adaptable collar has a very nice effect there also, because you never know what component of hyperactivity. Obviously, the dog is just genetically wired to be a very wired dog. Yeah. I mean, German short-haired pointers, they're hunting dogs. Like my Weimaraners, they're meant to go, whatever, you know, 8 hours a day in the field. So genetically, they're programmed to do things that we can't really provide them with. But the adaptable collar does provide a kind of security blanket so that if any aspect of that jazzed upness has an anxiety or a stress edge to it, it will take the edge off of it, like the sort of vodka shooters I was recommending earlier. So I think you should definitely consider
all three of
that.
Them actually wear.
Yeah. Well, they do all wear adaptable collars?
Yeah, all three of them wear them.
I'll be darned.
I figured I couldn't just give one the pheromones and not be fair to everybody else.
Oh, that's so nice.
I figured, what the hey, and I gave it to everybody.
Oh, my God, that's really cool. That's really cool. We had a caller into the show, actually, I want to say a couple of weeks ago, who has, what was her dog, an English Mastiff, who was born with some horrible polycystic kidney disease. It's genetic. The breeder wasn't careful or just didn't know. So the dog has been turning a bit on the sun because the dog's in pain. And so they sent her a giant size of adaptable collar, and I'm curious to know if she's listening, how if that sweet dog, whose name I believe was Sadie, if she's doing better, if it's taking a little of the edge off for her. So it's good to know.
Yeah.
So Jessica,
I remember
did you
that because I had an English Mastiff named Sadie too.
Oh my God, that's funny. Well, do you have a question for us? Because we have a bunch of calls holding, which we're thrilled about.
Yes.
We don't want to irritate everybody. You all hang on.
I did. I had a question about dental health, actually. I was wondering, I found a product, and I was wondering if it's something that you think would be safe to use for cleaning their teeth. It's like this green gel, and I can say the name of the brand if you want.
Sure, go ahead.
It's called Tropiclean, and it's
supposed to,
you put it on their teeth, and it's supposed to bubble and mix with the saliva, and then you brush their teeth with it.
Yep.
And I was wondering if you guys had heard of it or if
I have.
You've had any success with it, if it's safe, because I know some of these products can contain chemicals, and I'm trying to find something that's safe in case, you know, obviously they're going to swallow it. So
that's a really good question. I think we're going to answer it before the break. I don't know if Sean's familiar with the product. I've actually been looking for a really good topical teeth cleaner that would precede brushing, or if you were too lazy like me, would take the place of brushing, to be an advertiser on the show, because Sean is a holistic vet, and we both believe heartily not only in dental health, but even in dental cleanings by your vet, but in between you have to do something. So I've been very conscious of these various products, and there's three or four that seem very out there. Tropiclean is always at the conferences I go to or the conventions I go to, Sean, you know, Super Zoo and Global Pet. Do they also take a booth at a vet conference? Have you met the people, seen the product? They advertise all over the place.
I've seen the product at some pet stores. They don't typically go to vet offices or vet conferences because we don't really sell their products in our office. I don't know much about it, but I know the company makes fairly decent products. So
yes.
Since you're describing it as green, I'm guessing there's probably some sort of herbs in there like chlorophyll or celery or parsley, things that we know can help with dental disease and with breath. So my only concern with a lot of these dental products is just to check and make sure, especially for dogs, there's no xylitol in there, which is an artificial sweetener. Dogs are very sensitive to xylitol, and there have been reports of dog poisonings with xylitol.
Yes.
It's something that you find in sugarless gum and that kind of thing for people, but it's really potent and toxic for dogs. And I've seen products where they have quote-unquote small amounts in there.
Wow.
I just get kind of anal about stuff, and if I have a choice of one that maybe has a toxin in it versus one that doesn't, I try not to use the one that potentially could be toxic.
Okay,
so if there's xylitol, I'd avoid it. Otherwise, it's probably fine.
Okay, here's what I'm going to put out to you, Jessica. Between now and next Tuesday night, I'm going to get in touch with the company. I'm going to talk to somebody. I'm going to find out how they say it works and find out more information about it, okay? So call in next Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
This is going to be my job for the week because you're going to give me a little kick in the booty. I wanted to find a really great product for the show anyway, and this will propel me in that direction. I had several of their full-page ads on my desk as it is, very attractive. So I will be finding out about them and call back next Tuesday, and I will tell you everything.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that sounds great.
Terrific. Thank you so much for the call. It's great talking to you. I'm going to hook up you and Dr. Sean for this blood lipid testing. It's very exciting. Thanks a lot, Jessica. Now, everybody, hang on to your hats. Do not drop your lines because we've had a little problem with that. Don't go away. We have to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to get right on the line with Julie. Be right back. This show is supported by Platinum Performance Canine Wellness Formula, which is a comprehensive nutritional foundation formula for all dogs, which addresses canine health at the cellular level, providing a special blend of more than 55 nutrients that improves the fundamental health of each of your dog's 12 trillion cells. Healthy cells mean a healthy dog. That's the Platinum difference. Platinum Performance Canine Wellness is a supplement scientifically proven to improve the cognitive ability of dogs in a study designed to measure their learning ability. When the dogs were tested on how well they remembered the skills learned in the first phase, dogs on Platinum Performance demonstrated superior memory by completing the task more quickly than the control group. To give your dog that mental edge, especially as she ages, go to RadioPetLady.com to get free samples and learn more. And there's Platinum Feline Formula for the kitties, too. Support for the show comes from Waruva, a family-owned company that makes canned food for cats and little dogs from ingredients we could eat ourselves. Because they think dogs and cats should eat as well as we do, so their foods are made in a human food facility. We salute Waruva's ethical decision to make no dry food because they know that for optimal wellness, small dogs don't need highly processed carbohydrates, and that true health for cats, who are obligate carnivores, means they should eat only meat and have no need for carbohydrates in their diet. In addition to all the delicious Waruva recipes, they also make Cats in the Kitchen in pouches and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brand, using smaller-bodied fish for your cat's health. This show is brought to you by Vectra 3D for Dogs, a safe and effective topical anti-tick and flea treatment that you put on your dog's skin once a month to repel parasites. Vectra 3D has the newest technology. In scientific tests, Vectra 3D was shown to create a shield on your dog's skin to repel ticks and kill them fast and reliably for the entire month, unlike older products which don't last the full 30 days and only kill ticks that bite your dog, a bite which can actually transmit the many tick-borne diseases even without the parasites staying attached. With Vectra 3D, ticks are killed just by coming into contact with your dog, but it's still safe for the people in your family. Vectra for cats and dogs who live where there are no ticks is the anti-flea topical treatment that repels and kills fleas and also kills all three life cycles of the flea. Vectra is only available from practicing veterinarians. To learn more and find out how your own vet can get the Vectra products, go to RadioPetLady.com. We are back, Dr. Sean, the natural vet, and Tracy. So happy that you guys have all found us. Those of you that are just hanging out there wondering, why do I keep getting a busy signal? I hope it's not the annoying busy signal from before. It kind of disconnects you. Sean had a hissy fit one night because he tried to call Anne-Marie, the communicator.
I couldn't even talk to you.
I know. That was rude, being your own show and all.
I know.
Well, I'm going to give you guys the number, but if you don't get through, don't take it personally. Just try again. We are definitely challenged in the telephone line department, but we are fixing it. So just keep on trying. 888-627-6008. We have Julie on the line. Hey, Julie, welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk.
Hi, Tracy. Hi, Dr. Sean.
Hey, howdy. Julie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
What are you calling us about?
Well, Dr. Sean is actually my dog Kelsey's vet and has been for 2 years, and she
Lucky
is a two-year cancer survivor.
Wow.
With holistic supplements only, two surgeries, but no chemo, and all holistic supplements, and she's doing awesome.
Oh, Julie, that's really exciting. Hey, Sean, isn't that a beautiful story?
Yes, and actually I asked Julie if she would call in because I really wanted people to hear Julie's story and her husband's story and really Kelsey's story, because Kelsey is a cancer survivor. I mean, she still technically has cancer, but it's in remission. It's doing really well. And, you know, Julie and her husband are like some of my best clients because they will do anything for this sweet little dog. And I wanted her just to kind of share the story of Kelsey and why she decided to kind of look at a more holistic approach and not just go with, she mentioned, saying no to chemo right now, why she kind of made that approach and what she thinks of doing that.
I would love to hear, Julie. First, tell us a little about Kelsey.
Okay. Well, actually, it's March 13th was her second year anniversary of her of us knowing that she had cancer. 2 years ago, we thought she was having back problems. She wasn't walking right. We took her in. We had to actually get three different vet opinions. The third one was the one that said she has a tumor. They went in to do exploratory surgery. It had the intestine had gotten so big it burst her intestine.
Oh, my God.
And they said that her bowels look septic. They really recommended to euthanize her. We said, well, what chance does she have? They said 10%. We said, well, if you can try, can you make her comfortable if she does survive? And they said, okay. Well, she survived, and she was actually walking that night when we went to check on her after her surgery, and we thought we had lost her. But, she's very tough, and we just, after she got well enough, we did look into chemo, but we did want to talk to Dr. Sean, and we went to see him, and, you know, he let us make up our own mind whether we wanted to do chemo or not, and just doing a lot of research online and reading like four or five different cancer books, one of which was Dr. Sean's book. We just decided we wanted to try the holistic approach first, and we would use chemo as like a very last resort. So she's been doing so good on the holistics, and we get an ultrasound every 3 months. She's just been doing so good on it. We haven't had to go to the chemo route yet. And
amazing.
Just reading the, yeah.
It's amazing because you're talking about a tumor that I guess they think could grow back or would grow back, or Sean wouldn't have to do the ultrasound. So you're keeping it in check, Sean, with the supplements you're prescribing?
Yeah, basically what we've done for Kelsey, and we've talked to Julie and her husband quite a bit about chemo, and she's visited with the chemo doctors a little bit, and then we'll talk some more after she visits with them. But based on the fact that for the first year after Kelsey's surgery, we kept her in remission with no other therapies except natural therapies. The tumors did come back, very small tumors, which we removed a second time, and they have since come back again, very small. So we're monitoring them, and we're always having the conversation, you know, should we do chemo? Should we not do chemo? And I think Julie and her husband made the decision, look, she's done so well without upsetting anything, with just sticking with natural therapies. We still have chemo as a tool if we have to use it. We don't want to use that tool yet because there's no reason to. We also have treated Kelsey really aggressively with an autosanguis detox. She's also one of my new stem cell therapy dogs. We've injected stem cells in her own cells, actually. So I'm anxious to see how she's going to do. But she's technically lived probably a year and a half longer than she should have, knowing that no chemo was done. And once again, you know, I don't tell people what to do. I give them advice.
Yes.
I give them suggestions.
Yes.
I work with them. But this just shows, once again, here was a family that was told maybe a 10% chance of survival. Thankfully, they went with their gut feeling and did something for Kelsey. And this is another great reason why I don't want people to give up if another one or two or three vets say, look, this doesn't look very good. Maybe we shouldn't pursue it. Before you give up, we can always give up. We can always say it's time for euthanasia.
Yes.
Let's find someone holistic that, while I can't make a guarantee, I can at least offer a little bit of hope, some other opportunities for healing. It's ultimately up to Kelsey. It's ultimately up to the pet's body, how strong it is. I can tell you that Kelsey is not a big fan of veterinarians. She doesn't care for me very much. But I know Kelsey is feeling good when she tries to bite me. So if she doesn't try to bite me, I know she's not feeling really good. And I'm okay with that because it's telling me my therapies are working. And she just is very bonded to her owners, and she's kind of nervous and fearful around other people. So anytime she comes in, if she's not feeling good enough to get upset with me, I know I've got a problem. And so far, she's always been pretty upset. So I know things are going well.
That's so sweet. What kind of dog is she, Julie? Describe her. Her age, her breed, her size.
Okay. We got her from a shelter in 2004. I still have the receipt, and we didn't know what she was. They said she was about a year, so she's probably 9 and a half, going on 10. And we've got a DNA test done through the mail that my mom bought us for Christmas one time, where you swab their cheek and you send it in, and you don't send in a picture or anything. So they don't have a preconceived idea, but came back 75% English Springer Spaniel. So she's like brownish red color. She's got a white chest, white socks with little freckles. She's just beautiful. And
very good looking.
She's like
dog.
Our child, you know.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, I have to say, yeah, this is a really cool story. What kind of cancer is it?
They said at first a leiomyosarcoma or something like that. I think they came back later with like a GIST tumor. We've been told GIST. I think it was maybe it turned out to be a leiomyosarcoma. Dr. Sean would remember.
It's basically a smooth muscle cell tumor of the intestinal tract, and sometimes microscopically, the GIST tumor, which is a gastrointestinal tumor, and the leiomyosarcoma look very similar. So, you know, sometimes the pathologist might read it one way or the other. I believe the last time, I don't have her chart in front of me, it was the leiomyosarcoma, because sometimes they can do different chemo. Regardless of that, I mean, she's done really well. And one thing I would suggest, Julie and her husband, Jim, love this little dog. I mean, they're very devoted to her. As she mentioned, this is her child. She would be the first to admit to you, between our care and several surgeries, you know, it's not been an inexpensive route for Kelsey. Fortunately, they're in a position where they both work and they can afford this. But I think another moral of the story that comes out of this is not only should you pursue every option, including natural therapies, but if you're in a situation where maybe if you were faced with thousands of dollars of vet bills for a situation like this, which was an emergency diagnosis for them 2 years ago, if the cost would be prohibitive to literally try to save the pet's life, you and I talk, Tracy, all the time about the value of pet health insurance.
Absolutely.
They didn't need that. They didn't use it. That's fine. But many people might not be in the position they are. And I've had clients that have had to make decisions that I know they wouldn't have made if cost wasn't an issue. And I think things like pet health insurance, care credit, all those payment options can be so valuable to owners and can literally make the difference between life and death. And for me as a doctor, you know, I can only do so much to control cost. Cancer is never a cheap disease to treat. And I really don't like to not be able to help a pet simply because of finances. And the good thing about the Brookses is that they've been able to do what we've asked them to do. Kelsey's lived, like I said, several times longer than she was expected. I expect her to live a few more years. There's never a guarantee. You know, we never know what cancer is going to do. But knock on wood, she's been doing pretty well. We ultrasound her every 3 to 4 months. We're checking her blood. We're checking her stats. They're all coming back really good. We still have chemo as an option if we need it. We still have all these wonderful natural therapies we can fine-tune if we need to do that. So one of the reasons I wanted Julie to call in is because this is such a wonderful success story.
Yes.
And it's not an anomaly. This is very typical of what we see in practice when we're allowed to do these wonderful integrative therapies for these special pets.
It's fantastic, Julie, and I really appreciate you calling in. I think it's one of those stories that people need to hear. As I'm listening to it, I'm feeling really bad, which I think a lot of people do when they don't start to go the exploratory surgery route. And I had a beautiful female Weimaraner who I never did the exploratory surgery to find out, was it really the stomach cancer, the intestinal cancer that we thought it might be. I forget why the vet thought it might be. Well, the dog was losing weight and didn't want to eat, and so they put her on prednisone. I didn't want to put her through a big surgery. She was already 10, but Kelsey was already 8 at least. And so for 6 months, she lived on the prednisone, and she was fine and had a great full life and had an appetite. And then one fine day, that was it. I mean, literally one day she said, done. Threw up, lay down in 20-degree weather, and she was done. I now think, I didn't know then, I mean, I've, you know, steeped in all this research, but when it's your own dog, kid, family member, you don't always think as clearly. Maybe I should have done exploratory surgery. I always thought that was kind of like a shot in the dark, Sean, like, you know, you open them up and you find they're riddled with cancer and then what? But that's what you found out, and you've got your beautiful girl in good shape, happy to bite Sean any day of the week.
That's true.
You know, I mean, and pet insurance is something I have always believed in. And I have to believe, Julie, that if you could turn back the clock, and I don't care if you and your husband, you know, are Wall Street titans, nobody likes to shell out thousands upon thousands of dollars in medical bills if you knew that by spending $30 a month, it would all be paid for, at least 80% of it. And it's just the thing about pet insurance is, it's not for the things you expect. It's for the things you don't expect, both in terms of a medical diagnosis and the ongoing costs. I mean, I know what every ultrasound costs. I was ultrasounding a dog checking all the time for bladder stones and stuff. it's hundreds of dollars each time. It just is. So right. I think it's,
yeah. In retrospect, I wish we had had pet insurance. In retrospect, now.
Well, I just wish that you would use your story both to say that holistic and what Sean can offer is just fabulous. I mean, it's just miraculous, magical, and brilliant. And I'm so glad you found him, and I'm so glad you were willing to give it a try to all of the amazing modalities that he has. But I hope that when the people that you love, that love their pets, hear your story, they do understand that if you had had one of the good pet insurances, the companies that Dr. Sean and I both know, whether it's Healthy Pets or Trupanion or Embrace, there's some very good companies. They don't fiddle with you when the time comes. They will cover 80% of every bill until Kelsey's very last day on Earth. And that's pretty amazing. So you pay 30. I signed up two of my older dogs at age 10 because I didn't like the insurance company I was with. I just didn't. They were changing the rules of the game. So I changed at age 10, which means nothing that they already had would be covered. Nothing. And I'm paying for older dogs only $50 a month each. Well, if any of them gets cancer, and we know the likelihood of that is incredibly high, I'm saving maybe $8,000 or $10,000 for spending $50 a month. So it's right. At this point, it doesn't make sense for her, but it really is a good chance for you to educate your friends.
Right. Right. You would Kelsey qualify for any of the insurances since she already has the cancer? Or?
Yes. Yeah. She would qualify for insurance, but it would exclude that illness. So it a pre-existing condition. All pet insurance excludes a pre-existing condition. So if the animal already has arthritis, two of mine have severe, costly arthritis, for which I do as many things as you do for Kelsey with her cancer, that's not covered. So if the day you adopt the dog who's two, then it's a clean slate because there is no history. You are making history as you go along. And all my dogs came from shelters and rescues too. So that's the time to do it, whether they're puppies 6 months old, 5 years old. You get pet insurance, and unless there's a documentation of something they already have wrong with them, you are covered. And you can make it a lower amount each month by having a higher deductible. So that's another good thing to do, you know, so that it doesn't – if you can afford that deductible – it's sort of like just like car insurance, right? You pick that higher deductible, you pay less a month. So when the X happens in an accident, you're liable for the first X dollars, but you've been paying less as well. Anyway, it's a marvelous story, and I'm very glad that she hasn't that you don't have to live on rice-a-roni, that you can still eat a nice dinner and take care of her.
You know, we don't buy lots of jewelry. We don't, you know, buy furs or anything like that.
Yes.
We spend our money, our extra money on her. So, and, you know, we wanted her to, and we chose holistic also so that she would feel good and knowing that chemo would probably make her feel bad. So.
Yeah, she's done so well. I mean, this is, like I said, this sounds miraculous, and it is, but this is what we see every day when we're able to do these things for these pets. And like I said, if you have great owners like Jim and Julie that are committed to their pets, that literally are doing anything for this sweet little dog, and we see her on a regular basis, I know these things are working. This is not just, you know, some fluke that out of the blue we kind of got lucky. These are all proven therapies, and we're using them in very novel, interesting ways based upon what's happening in Kelsey's body. We adapt as she changes things.
It's terrific.
Right.
We really appreciate you sharing this
story.
Well, I got
you on here, Dr. Sean. Can I ask you one question?
Sure, go ahead. Sure.
Okay. As far as like natural stuff, my husband also wanted me to ask about apple cider vinegar. He said that he read that it can make your body more alkaline instead of acidic. Would a little bit of apple cider vinegar for Kelsey every day be okay for her? Is that okay?
I think that's fine. If you want to use a couple of tablespoons in her water, that's fine. You know, I get asked this question a lot by new clients, and I don't have any good proof that alkaline versus acid is going to make a lot of changes. I know when I read the human literature, especially some of the very aggressive holistic doctors I know for people, some of the naturopaths, they've been able to fine-tune certain kinds of cancer where they can tell you if a person has this kind of cancer, it's better if they're eating more vegetables than meat. If they have this kind of cancer, more acid from the meat might be helpful. We don't have any of that information for pets. Also, it may be harder to get pets to adapt to some of these diets. Yeah. I don't know that giving just a little bit of apple cider vinegar is going to make a big change in the body pH, because our bodies and our pets' bodies have buffers in there like bicarbonate and acid as well to try to keep the pH a certain amount. So, you know, when you hear stories about, well, the body is more alkaline. Well, it can only be so alkaline or the pet is going to have problems, because the body's supposed to buffer things to a neutral area. But within that neutral area, you can lean towards more acid or more alkaline. So I think if you want to use the apple cider vinegar, that would tend to really produce more acid because it's an acid itself. But I do hear from owners that use it and that believe there are some health benefits to it. So I'm okay with that. It's not going to hurt her cancer.
And okay. Then, of course, there's the fact she may hate the taste of it, and then she ain't gonna.
Yeah, but a little bit in water, I think she'll be fine with. But give it a try, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for calling,
well,
Julie.
Tell
Jim
for
me.
Thank you very much.
Have a great night. Bye-bye. Kisses to Kelsey from us. We're going to go for a break, folks. When we come back, we've got O'Leary on the line. And, Bob, we have to answer his question, but he was using a Bluetooth. Bob, if you're still listening, get a proper phone line. Can you not use some wireless, cordless, Bluetoothy thing? Get a real old phone, because we'd love to talk to you as well. We're going to be right back after this break. Support for this show comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned company that makes raw dehydrated pet foods from 100% human-grade ingredients, from food ingredients that are gently dehydrated to remove only the moisture, yet retain most of the natural nutrients. Everyone knows that the least processed foods are the most nutritious, and Lucy at The Honest Kitchen developed her unique foods based on this principle. The Honest Kitchen's all-natural, clean, safe products can assist cats and dogs with chronic health problems like itchy skin, ear infections, and GI upset, which are often linked to a poor quality or inappropriate diet. Just add water to the dry mix to create a fresh, warm, healthy meal for your cat or dog. Go to RadioPetLady.com for information about calling The Honest Kitchen for a complimentary consultation to find out which recipe is right for your pet and get free samples. This show is supported by the pheromone products Feel Away for cats and Adaptil for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that replicate a signal of comfort in your pet's brain. And veterinary nutritionists often recommend Feel Away and Adaptil to help patients with behavior issues as a stress reliever that can help solve many common behavior challenges or even emotional discomfort you may not recognize. Feel Away for cats and Adaptil for dogs can also be comforting for newly adopted cats and dogs from stressful backgrounds, and especially for new puppies and kittens experiencing the fear and loneliness of leaving their litters. Feel Away diffusers and spray for cats help with feline behavior issues in a multi-cat household for out-of-litter box issues and to get a cat used to her carrier for travel or vet visits. Adaptil for dogs helps alleviate anxiety and stress-related symptoms whether your dog is at home, in a car, or out in the world. Adaptil comes in a diffuser, spray, and the most effective way, a collar. Veterinary animal behaviorists often recommend Feel Away and Adaptil to help patients with behavior issues. You can find the pheromone products through the link at RadioPetLady.com, where there's a discount to Dr. Sean's online store, PetCareNaturally.com. VaxaCheck wants to know, are you worried about the harmful side effects of over-vaccinating your dog? But is your vet worried whether your dog still has protection from previous vaccinations? VaxaCheck takes the worry out of keeping your dog safe. Avoid the risks of automatically revaccinating by asking for VaxaCheck, a blood titer test done right in your veterinarian's office while you wait. It shows whether your dog has immunity to the deadly core diseases, distemper, parvovirus, and hepatitis. If she has the antibodies in her blood, you don't need to revaccinate. But if she doesn't have protective immunity to one of the diseases, then you revaccinate only against that one illness. VaxaCheck should be used on every puppy to confirm that she actually got the protective antibodies from her puppy shots, which are not guaranteed to be 100% effective. Shelters and rescues should use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. For your dog's safety and your peace of mind, ask for a VaxaCheck test at your dog's yearly checkup so you and your vet make the best decision about long-term health. VaxaCheck for cats is coming soon. And we are back, Dr. Sean, the Natural Vet, and I, and the number to call us, I think you'll get through now. Early in the show, sometimes there's a bit of a traffic jam. 888-627-8255. 6008. Please join us with any question or comment you have while we say hi to, well, I've told your name is O'Leary, but you're Denise, right? Welcome to the show. Hello, hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
We sure can.
Oh, okay, all right. I'm actually the person who wrote Dr. Sean this week looking for a holistic vet in Southern California.
Terrific.
And then I got a response.
Thank you for calling.
Saying,
yes,
oh,
we're
we don't
so
know
pleased
anybody
you called.
There.
Well, the thing
so
is, there's a...
That's what I'm looking for, a holistic vet, primarily because I'm thinking about getting my two little dogs, their teeth cleaned. And they're two brothers. They're Lhasa Apso Yorkie mixes. And I've had them for 3 years. They're actually 5 years old because I adopted them from a family who didn't have time for them. And so their teeth look really good, but I can notice in the back it looks like they need to be cleaned. And I don't know which way to go, you know, to put them out or to have it cleaned without that. So those
well,
are my questions.
Sean and I both have a very shared opinion about this, and I'll say a couple of things first, and then Sean will say his. But in a nutshell, dogs always have to be put to sleep for their own comfort and safety and so the vet can properly clean the teeth they have to get to. Doing it without putting them to sleep is actually cruel and painful and ineffectual and is sometimes done by, I don't know, people that didn't go to vet school but say they did, or people who were groomers. I mean, it's just not appropriate. Mm-hmm. However, the thing I've learned the hard way is that those dirty teeth in the back, because your little guys are not that old, will actually come clean with a toothbrush and dog toothbrush, toothpaste, or if I find out that this Tropiclean gel is good with that stuff, but you need to use a toothbrush. Now, I have to tell you the truth. I have dogs that are, two of them are 12 years old and one of them six, and until their checkup just now about 2 weeks ago, I was horrible. I didn't clean their teeth, and I would go, oh, I'm so bad. I just don't clean their teeth. I do everything else in the world for them. I don't clean their teeth. Mm-hmm. And one of them had to have molars pulled on top. The teeth had cracked. So down below, he has these two molars on the bottom that are really getting gross. I mean, if you big mouth, hard to see in the back, but like beyond brown, just nasty. And the vet said to me, you got to clean them. So like, okay, I'm really going to do it. And I have all these toothbrushes lined up, and I have tubes of different dog toothpaste. And I thought, this is going to be horrible. They're going to hate it. And you know what? They don't hate it at all. You get, in the case of your little guys, maybe
really?
A kid's...
Really? See, I mean, even when I try to look in their mouth, it's like they don't like that, you know?
But you can get them used to it. And Sean and can give you some thoughts about that. But one of my dogs hates it a lot, like shakes his head and acts like I'm gagging him with a spoon. The other one now lies down and closes her eyes while I'm scrubbing away. You're going to, you know, put you could put some dog food on the toothbrush in the beginning, some delicious dog food or any tasty thing, and rub it with that. You just have to gently get them used to the feeling that the head of the toothbrush is going to, because the back teeth are the hardest, is to go back and forth.
Yeah, well, that's the only place that I see anything, because their front is nice and clean, you know.
Yeah. So, but you're going to have to start to use a toothbrush. Don't take my example and wait till they're 12 years old. Little by little, you can get them used to it by using something tasty on the brush. Sean, any thoughts about that?
Well, I agree with you, although I don't usually see tartar coming off the teeth just with brushing. I think it can help control some. But if you're seeing anything on the teeth, then Tracy's correct. You know, we see so many problems with people, quote unquote, cleaning the teeth without anesthesia. And every vet journal I pick up these days, there are articles and pictures of pets who have had severe dental problems that either were missed by the person cleaning the teeth without anesthesia, because this was a groomer or someone who didn't know what she was doing, or problems that were caused by the instrumentation and by failing to properly clean the teeth, which I don't care how great the pet is, you can't stick these instruments in between the teeth and gums to get some gingival cleaning, which you need to do.
Sure, and plus it's traumatic for them, I would think.
Well, yeah, I don't think I want to be held down against my will and have, you know, basically needles put in my mouth and things scraped up my teeth.
Yeah.
I mean, I think most people can relate to when you go to the dentist yourself, even though it's usually not painful, it can be
That's
uncomfortable
right.
at times. But we understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
we can be told
yeah.
that. But think about how many people go to the dentist, and even they get a little gas just to help them relax. Well, our pets don't understand all this stuff. I think anesthesia is very safe. I think if you're scared of anesthesia, find a doctor who can do anesthesia correctly. In our area here in Plano, Texas, we get so many people coming to us because their vets have told them, your dog or cat is too old to have its teeth cleaned. And I just want to say, too old for what? Proper health care? I mean, if your vet's not comfortable with anesthesia, fine, don't go there. But at least find someone who can do senior pet anesthesia. It's done every day. Mm-hmm. It's done safely. The pets act like puppies and kittens as soon as you clean
know,
the teeth.
I called, I've been calling around just trying to, you know, shop around and get prices. And it seems they have to do blood work and they do this follow-up. And it comes to like $700 a dog.
All right, well, let me tell you in our practice, just for pricing, now, once again, I don't have your high bills in California and your high tax rates, which you should move to Texas if you'd like to save some money. But that's neither here nor there. I know my governor is out there asking for people to move. But all right, so that's a different topic. So this is what we normally charge. If the teeth are in pretty good shape, I don't have to pull any. Normally, we're going to spend $300 to $400. Now, when I say that, keep in mind I've already done blood testing with the annual visit, so this is like a follow-up to the annual visit. But if you're going to get the procedure done correctly and safely, it may cost a little bit. The most expensive dental cleaning I think we did was about $800. That was on an older dog, and literally I pulled about half that dog's teeth.
Yes.
Well, you know, if you're charging $50 to pull a tooth and you're pulling, you know, 10 teeth, that's $500 before you even get to the cleaning part. So the more frequently you have it done, the less expensive per visit it should be, because we don't have all this other stuff to deal with. You pull teeth, you got to use pain medicine, that costs more money. So I don't know if $700 is unreasonable in California, truthfully. I know it can cost more to live there. In our area, you can get some dental cleanings done a lot cheaper than we do, but I wouldn't put my pet through that. I'd rather spend a little bit more, have it done correctly, safely. The other thing I should tell you, a really neat story, because since you brought up dental cleanings. We had a client yesterday. It was her second visit with us, and she just loves me, and I love her. But she found me I forgot how she found me, but anyway, she came in about a month ago for her dog's annual checkup.
I think it was
checkup.
On the side of a bus, Sean. It was that picture of you on the side of the bus.
It could be. That's right. Waving at everybody. Come visit
that's
Dr.
Right.
Sean. So, but anyway, she found me. So she wanted us to do the dog's teeth. And we talked about it. She goes, you know, my dog's had his teeth cleaned 6 times before. And the dog's teeth were in pretty good shape, actually, but it needed to be done again. So she said, you know, the dog's had his teeth cleaned 6 times before. And one of her concerns was, what will the dog be like when it goes home? And I said, well, what experiences have you had with these other 6 dental cleanings? She goes, well, every time the dog comes home, he's not normal for a few days. He comes home groggy. He's kind of falling over. And I'm like, okay, that's malpractice. That should never happen, but it usually does. I said, we're going to clean your dog's teeth at 9 o'clock this morning. Your dog can go home fully awake at 10 o'clock. And she looked at me like I was a nut. She goes, are you serious? I said, oh, yeah, your dog will be wide awake with no side effects. Now, she couldn't take the dog home at 10. She had an appointment. But she came at 2:30, and I called her back that afternoon to check on the pet. She's like, I just love you. I can't believe you even cleaned the dog's teeth. I mean, this dog is no different from when I dropped him off. He's not groggy. He's not falling over. He wants to eat. He's feeling good. And I said, that's because of the anesthesia regimen we use. That's why people come to us, because they want that. They don't want the dog and cat falling over, not able to eat, not waking up, going back the next day because they're still not moving along. That happens way too much, and it usually happens with less expensive procedures where we're using different anesthetic that's cheaper, and it's easy to give them a shot. Maybe they'll be awake in the afternoon. Maybe they won't, but we're done with it. You got your cheap procedure, so go home. I don't do that. I treat your pet the same way I treat mine, and I want you to come back, and I don't want the pets to have side effects from anesthesia.
So what
look
is
for
the
that.
Difference?
How do I find
What's the
it?
Difference?
So, see, how will I be able to check?
Well, I want to know from Sean, what is the name of the anesthesia that you're using? Is it got an actual name?
Yeah, so what we basically do is use some sort of preoperative sedative for most pets. A little bit of xylazine, which is safe if you're careful with it, or some butorphanol. Now, the butorphanol dogs, I can't really reverse that, so some of them are a little bit quieter when they go home.
Okay.
But once again, unless the pet has a weird, unexpected reaction, they shouldn't be falling over. And if they are, I won't send them home. I'll send them to the emergency clinic. Then we use isoflurane gas. Now, once again, the way that we do anesthesia, I call it a more holistic approach, I use very, very tiny amounts of anesthesia, just enough to let me put the pet asleep, I put a tube in their throat to help them breathe, and we breathe for them if necessary. Then we reverse the sedative, the xylazine, when we're done, and they're waking up. And actually, some of these pets are so light, they'll start to wake up before I'm done with the dental cleaning, which can be a little traumatic because I'm not done. I have to give them a little bit more gas, but that's okay. We work with that. So I kind of tell people, when we anesthetize your pet for a dental cleaning, they're not nearly as deep as they would be for a more involved surgery, like a spay or a neuter, or like Julie's case or your case, Tracy, opening the dog's abdomen up. They need to be deep for that. Still with that, they should still go home awake. So I just think it's important to find out what drugs you use. If your doctor is going to use intramuscular or subcutaneous ketamine, or ketamine combinations, or xylazine combinations subcutaneous, those are not bad anesthetics, but those don't wear off sometimes for 12 to 24 hours. So those pets shouldn't be going home. They should be in the hospital. But once again, I don't want your pet in the hospital. Your pet doesn't want to be in the hospital. You don't want your pet there. You want your pet to go home as soon as we're done with this procedure, just like you can go home when you have a procedure done. So you have to use different anesthetics that are metabolized quickly, that are given intravenously, that are mainly relying upon gas, and then just go with it. Just find out what's being done. Also find out how the pet's being monitored. Are there any machines or people around to make sure the pet's still breathing during surgery? I had a colleague in town who's since passed away. He wasn't much older than me. He just happened to unfortunately have a heart attack and died suddenly. But I asked him one day, because he was a good old boy here in Texas, and he didn't charge a lot for his procedures. So I'm like, okay, what do you do different than me? So I said, Rusty, what do you do as far as monitoring dogs and cats when they're under anesthesia? And Tracy's going to laugh because I know Tracy, but he basically told me that, well, he's doing the surgery. Every so often he'll lift up the drape. Yeah, the dog's still breathing. I'm good with that. Keep cutting.
Oh, my God.
But what he told me is unfortunately not different from what a lot of vets do. And once again, there's a cost issue. There's also a management issue. How many employees do you want to have around, et cetera? So, yeah, you know, we will charge more. Other vets charge more. But you really do get what you're paying for. You know, if you want the vet to look under the towel and make sure the dog's still breathing, that's not going to cost much. And
well, they're going to be in his mouth, so I guess they don't have to lift any towels.
That's right. Very good point. Here's
my they're already right there.
Right? That's right. So here's my
what suggestions do you have for me to start searching out a holistic vet, though?
Well, I have suggestions for you, but I want to say something first, is that a holistic vet isn't necessarily very good at dental or very bad at dental. So holistic vets, their approach is more like Dr. Sean's, to integrate supplements and holistic instead of Western medicine and chemicals. But if what you're looking – do you already have a vet?
I actually don't have a vet. My my dogs got their vaccination, you know, before I got them. And then you know Dr. Becker, who works with Dr. Mercola in Chicago?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Dr. Mercola in Chicago. Well, Dr. Becker is the vet that works. And so I kind of go with her suggestions of giving them dehydrated food. And then I make meat that I mix with it, and they get spirulina and krill oil.
Well, that's all nice, but hang on one second. Don't you go to the vet once a year for a checkup?
I haven't.
Okay, well, you absolutely need to do that. Here's what I need you to do.
So that's what I'm trying to establish. What would be a good vet to start going to? That's why I wanted.
Okay, the first thing I would say,
and then
before, listen up. This is really important. Okay, before you go to see a vet, buy pet insurance now. Buy the pet insurance now.
Yeah.
These are adopted pets. They don't have any history of anything wrong. You will be telling the truth if you say they're totally healthy. And if they ask you, which they sometimes do with a new pet, to see your vet records, you can say, I haven't been to a vet. Now, they might not think that's very good because that's actually not really very good. You're meant to go to the vet once a year to have the very checkup that Sean just mentioned, blood work. That's how we know we catch illness before it starts. We pick up symptoms early. So their urine and their blood, and, I mean, are you using topicals against ticks and fleas? Are you using heartworm medication?
No, I don't have that. I do have a spray if I had any kind of if I saw fleas, but I haven't seen.
Okay, so you absolutely have to have your dogs tested for heartworm immediately. I mean, this is really important, and you have to get them, if they do not have heartworm, which would be a great relief, get them on year-round heartworm protection, HeartGuard Plus or a similar product. This is life-threatening disease.
Well, they say heartworms is not common in California.
It's common everywhere. It's all over America.
Then I'm thinking, this is going to be a vet who's going to say, oh, they have to have this, and they have to have this, and they have to have that, and is that really true? If they're not holistic, they may be trying to set me up with all kinds of stuff to give the dogs.
Well, I'm just telling you heartworm. I'm just telling you have to have a blood test. So you're one of those people that thinks rather than going to a vet or a doctor that might tell you to do a bunch of tests and push you around, better to not do anything.
Yeah.
But that's really not going to keep your pets healthy because heartworm is a deadly disease.
No, but if I had a holistic doctor, I would feel better about his recommendations.
Okay.
Well, that's why I said you've got to move to Texas.
You have to go move to Plano, Texas. No, I'll tell you exactly how to find a holistic vet. And Southern California and Orange County are thick with them. Thick with them. I lived for 23 years in Southern California. You trip over holistic vets. You trip over holistic doctors.
Okay, but how do I find out? How do I find
out?
Go
to my website. Go to my website. Go to RadioPetLady.com, and then you'll see a link to my website, TracyHotchner.com. And in there, in fact, it may be that we already have the links.
I have your website, both of you, the chat,
okay.
Cat Chat and Dog Talk. That's what's on right now in front of me.
Excellent. Okay, so that's terrific. There should be links in there under, there's a tab for links, and it shows the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association. These are veterinarians like Dr. Sean who belong to an organization of veterinarians
right.
who choose to be holistic. And if you go on AHVMA website, which is probably called ahvma.org, but the link is in there on the website. If it's not on the Radio Pet Lady website, then it's on the Tracy Hotchner website because we're just building the new website. You're going to see a list of them in there. And I promise you, in fact, I'll go this far. If any of those vets don't tell you to test for heartworm immediately, if not sooner, and get them on heartworm medications, that's the malpractice that Sean was just talking about. Every dog.
Okay, talking about alternative practitioners? That's what I'm looking at on your site.
Yes,
right now.
We are. Yep.
Is that a holistic vet?
All right, so let me answer this for her. So most of us don't like the term alternative. Some people still use it because I don't do anything alternative. I just do good health care that includes a lot of natural therapies. I think what you need to do is mm-hmm. to find a couple of people close by your area and do what some of my new clients do. Go visit. Just say you'd like to visit the hospital, visit the doctor. Ask some questions. What kind of foods do you recommend? If my dog had this disease, what would you recommend? If we're going to do the teeth, how does that procedure work? And you'll start to get a feeling for how things go. You know, if your holistic vet is recommending certain brands of foods that may not be as natural, that's probably not a truly holistic vet. If your vet's recommending vaccines every year, that definitely isn't a holistic vet. So there are some things to go as guidelines, and then it really is a gut feeling for you. Who seems to get the best, you know, interaction with you, the staff, the hospital, does it smell nice? Who do you feel the best about ultimately trying out and seeing if it works?
That's good advice. Okay. You will see a bunch of names. I know you don't like the name alternative anymore, but it is an alternative to Western medicine, totally chemically based medicine. So it's an alternative to that, just like a health food store is alternative food, really. You know?
Yeah, but I think the reason we don't like alternative is because some people think, okay, I'm doing an alternative to the Western medicine, which is not totally true. You know, we'll still do surgery. We'll still use drugs when we need to. I like to look at what I'm doing as incorporating the best of Western medicine, the best of what you would call alternatives. So when people come to me, I tell them, look, I'm going to provide you health care for your pets. If your pet needs a drug, I'm going to tell you probably need to give the drug. But the goal is going to be not to give the drug the rest of your pet's life. But if it needs it, not to be scared of it. So, you know, I know veterinarians that are truly alternative. And that kind of scares me because what if the pet needs a drug? No. We only
serve.
Well, that's not good.
That's fair. Okay, then Denise.
Well, I'm just trying to find, first off, what vet in my area, what vet, even if there's three or four or five, are in my area, then I can go and start
here's what you need to do.
I'm, you know, at a loss.
No,
there's
you're not at a loss, Denise, because we have to go to a break. You're not at a loss because I'm going to change the word on the website that says alternative, because Sean never told me he didn't like the word. That does mean holistic vets. That organization is holistic vets. Go to their website, put in your zip code. You'll have lots to choose from. Call them up, just like people do with pediatricians, and say, I just want to come in and say hi. I just want to see your office, or you just go there without even an appointment. Just go there and talk to the front desk, and there'll be lots for you to choose from, okay? You really do need to get them.
I just hope that they tell me the truth. I have this feeling, like when I've called up, and they say, oh, well, yeah, we sort of are like that, you know, and it's like, are you trying to lie to me? Or
well, that's why you've got to visit them. And ask some questions.
If they're a member of the American Veterinary Medical Holistic Veterinary Association, they're not lying to you. They belong to an organization that supports holistic thinking, okay? So go to that website,
well,
like I said.
I didn't find anyone like that yet. I just
called
regular
You didn't look on the website. We got to go, but I gave you a link right there. So you've got to be a little open-minded and follow directions. Okay, you can't be this paranoid.
Okay.
I'm telling you there's an organization of holistic vets, and you're telling me you're hanging out to dry. You got no one to help you. We're here to help you. You can find a vet just like Sean. There'll be lots to choose from, and you're going to have to go visit and get the vibe that feels right to you. And no one's trying to lie to you in these places. They're just there to give your pet health. But you do need to get them a checkup.
And just quickly, what was that, green – something for the dog's teeth you were talking about?
Well, the Tropiclean, we don't know. You have to call back next Tuesday or listen next Tuesday. I'm going to be doing investigation of Tropiclean.
Okay.
That's my job for the week.
Okay.
We got to go to a break. Thank you for the call, Denise. Hang in there with those beautiful little boys.
Thank you.
We're going to be right back. When we come back, there's still time to call us. Lots of time. 888-627-6008. Idella, we're going to get to you in just 1 minute, sugar. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Read the ingredients on the label of your own dry dog food. Can you identify what's in there? Halo uses no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals in any of their products. Halo is a private company partially owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they genuinely are dedicated to keeping your pet happy and healthy inside and out. The company emphasizes giving back by making impressive charitable donations through freekibble.com to shelters and rescues because they believe that less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition too. Halo is the only kibble I feed my own dogs because Halo uses real meat in their kibble. No scary mystery ingredients that are permitted in rendered meal. There are even shreds of real vegetables along with the dry nuggets. It's why I'd love you to try Halo too. This show is also brought to you by Nordic Naturals for people and their pets. Nordic Naturals has been providing people around the world with high-quality omega-3 oils for decades, with third-party testing for purity and freshness. Research has shown that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in omega-3 oils, and daily supplementation helps maintain optimal health for all members of the family. In fact, Nordic's prenatal DHA and baby's DHA products are endorsed by the American Pregnancy Association, which is a welcome endorsement for those who will want to add omega-3 fish oil to their pet's bowl since they view their cats and dogs as their fur kids. Nordic Naturals Omega Pet products bring the same health benefits to the cats and dogs in your family. For more information, visit RadioPetLady.com. This show is part of the Radio Pet Lady Network, the best pet radio shows in the world. If you're enjoying our show, please go to RadioPetLady.com to see all the other live call-in shows I co-host. Wednesday is Dog Travel Experts, exploring all the ways to get out of the house with your dog from around the block to around the world with Paris from Dog Tipper. Also on Wednesday is Four-Legged Life with Arden Moore, who advocates great ways to enjoy life with your dogs and cats while keeping them safe. Thursday is Pet Food Advisors with Dr. Sean Delaney, a famous veterinary nutritionist with advice about what to feed your pets. And then it's A Dog's Life, discussing dog behavior with trainer Greg Kleva. Mondays, there's The Expert Vet with Dr. Donna, giving second opinions on hard-to-treat medical problems, and Cat Crazy with Amy Shojai, who is a certified animal behaviorist who is crazy about cats. If you cannot listen to any show live, just send your questions to RadioPetLady@gmail.com and we'll answer them on the air. You can listen later to the after-show podcast in the library at RadioPetLady.com. We are back, Dr. Shaw, the Natural Vet, and me, Tracy Hotchner. The number to reach us with any questions about any of your pet issues is 888-627-6008. And, Sean, I want to go to a question that Linda had about rabies vaccination for an older dog after we said hi to Idella. So put your thinking cap on. Idella, welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk. How are you doing?
I am doing just fine, Tracy. Good evening to you and everybody out there.
Thank you so much. How are things going on your purple 18-wheeler truck on which you're painting our new logo? Just asking.
It's a little slow right now. I'm trying to. I've had a little trouble with the artist, so we're doing a little wheeling and dealing. But I promise you, the logo's going to be on there.
I have to tell you, Sean, this woman's so amazing. She has the logo for Dog Talk. She had the logo for Cat Chat when we were on Sirius XM, and you know how complicated the logo is for Radio Pet Lady Network. It's like very complicated artwork. Idella, this person's probably going to hang themselves from a tree from frustration. It's not an easy logo. Did you already have your great event where all of you truckers got together? I've lost track of time. Was it last weekend or this coming weekend?
We are at Louisville, Kentucky right now. We are setting up in Papa John's parking lot. We've done it all day today. Our food tents are up and our booths are up, and we're getting ready for tomorrow. Tomorrow we go inside and set up our booths inside the I guess you would call it the Coliseum, the Expo Center. And then from there, Thursday, we get started. And Saturday, we've got all our auctions lined up. We've got a set of seats from Bostrom that are worth $1,200 a piece. It'll be up for auction. That'll start Saturday night around 6 in Papa John's Stadium. We've got refrigerators, we've got mud flaps, we've got all the stuff that you so graciously sent us to sell and give away in the booth to raise money, funds to get our pets to their forever homes.
So what this is, Sean, is this amazing group of truckers, 110% volunteers, that either help each other. You know how many of the truckers, you used to have a lot of truckers that listened to your show on Sirius XM also. A lot of them travel with their pets, and a lot of them now do transport of other truckers' pets or other people's pets or rescue group pets. And so they're doing this big fundraiser to raise money. All of this costs a fortune. You know, they have to transport the pets and the gas and the time and the organization. And you've transported tons of them already. So the refrigerators that you have, these are things for truckers, refrigerators for in a truck, mud flaps for a truck, right?
Yes, ma'am. All the most of the 95% of the items are equipment or items for a truck. We have Trucker Buddy donates toolboxes, and Bostrom donated seats, Norcold donated refrigerator, and then we have untold numbers of stuff for the auction. And the truckers themselves do not receive any money for transporting the pets. We do that strictly out of our heart. The money that we do get is to solicit truck drivers to help us and to run the website, to keep track of the drivers and the pets and everything that we need to do to get the pets to their forever home.
It's a lot of organization, I can tell you, just from getting 7 show hosts on radio organized. It's very difficult herding radio show hosts. I can imagine how hard it must be herding truckers. Can't be easy. So you have some Necco Flies toys to auction off so that a lot of people have cats in the trucks with them, right? So some of them may want to
use
that toy with their kitties
and
give them something to do. That's really great.
Yes, ma'am. We have the Necco Flies and we have the books that you sent. And then in the booth inside the Expo Center, we're going to have an autographed cat Bible and an autographed Dog Bible by Tracy Hotchner herself. for a donation, they can receive an autographed book from Tracy Hotchner.
Well, God, they're just going to be the luckiest ones, aren't they, Idella? I don't know how they're going to get over themselves. It's really terrific that you do this. It's wonderful, and I think as our show grows and more people listen from various places in the country, I think that people will really remember Operation Roger, and if a rescue group needs to get their pets from one place to another, Operation Roger can help them do it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We take the pets.
Whoops.
And put them in the trucks with us, and we treat them. No, we treat them as our own.
Well, you're a wonderful bunch of truckers.
Where they need to go.
And you women in trucking are a great group, and I know you just won a big award, so it's all really quite wonderful. We wish you a great, great event to raise lots of funds and lots of awareness, and especially to get more truckers to join with you in moving these pets from one place to another so they can be safe and loved. Thank you, Idella.
Yes, ma'am.
Have a great night, sweetie.
Oh, and send me some more cards. I need more cards.
Oh, my God. She already needs more cards, Sean. She's good. Sean has a bunch in his office, but we have to give them to Idella to hand out. I'll be sending you some. Toot sweet. All righty. Thank you, Idella. You're a doll. All righty. So here's my question, Sean. It's actually one of the emails that came to you, and I think it's a good question for people.
Okay.
This is to Dr. Sean. I've heard you mention that dogs should stop getting a rabies vaccination when they get older. What age is too old for a dog to get a vaccination? I have two Jack Russell mixed rescues that are 9 and 12 years old. So what do you say about that?
Go ahead. Well, first of all, people need to understand my answer is a medical answer, not a legal answer.
Good point.
Legally, you have to get a rabies shot until your dog dies at whatever age is going to die of. Same with cats. So having said the legal thing, which I tell all of my clients, I'm not going to tell you to break the law. I'm going to tell you the law. I'm also going to tell you what is medically best for your pet, which is not always necessarily in line with the law. Mm-hmm. So the law is you get your pet vaccinated in most states every 3 years. Mm-hmm. Medically, if I have pets with any sort of chronic disease, regardless of their age, we don't vaccinate them anymore for anything, including rabies. If I have pets with cancer, they never get another vaccine, including rabies. If I have a normal older pet that at some point will no longer be older, because if it lives long enough, it's going to have some disease. So at that point, we'd stop vaccinating. But most of my dogs that are small breeds, probably the 13 to 14, 15-year age, we're going to stop doing titers because we don't want to do vaccines anymore, and we'll stop doing rabies shots. My larger breeds that are 10, 11, 12, like your Weimaraners, we would mm-hmm. stop at that age. And what I tell owners is, instead of spending the money on the titers and the vaccines, let's do a little bit more of a health profile, maybe an EKG, a little bit more of a blood test, trying to screen these pets for these diseases that occur more frequently with advancing age. And if we can diagnose that early, we have many, many herbs and homeopathics and supplements that can help these pets, like Kelsey with the dog with the cancer earlier, live longer lives. So spend the money where it makes the most sense to do that and not throw good money after things that really aren't appropriate or necessary. Keep in mind, I don't encourage people to break the law. I'm going to tell you the law. I'm going to tell you medically what's necessary. You're going to tell me what we do.
But there is another way to not have to vaccinate and be within the law, which is that you can get a waiver at a certain point as I understand it, legally get a waiver. Let's say you want to have a license for your dog. I think that's sort of a good thing to do because then the community knows how many dogs there are, and maybe they'll be having more dog parks or having more dog-friendly rules or something. But in order to get the license, you have to show you have a rabies vaccination. Your
yes.
vet can write a letter saying that it's medically necessary or unnecessary for that animal cannot have rabies vaccination because of X reason. And I think you can get a medical,
Well, it really depends upon the area. You know, I actually had a pet years ago that had cancer, and they made me vaccinate this dog with cancer. And the dog
wow.
died not shortly after. And the state veterinarian said, I would love to give you an exemption. I totally agree with you medically, but I can't break the law. This is what the law says. And I said, well, you know, we're going to kill the dog. She goes, I understand that, but you have to vaccinate the dog. And I didn't. The dog died not long after that.
Although we can't say that the rabies vaccination killed the dog, Sean. That's not scientific.
Well, I'm not going to say it killed the dog, but there shouldn't have been any reason the cancer sped up. And we know that vaccinating pets with cancer can make cancer grow faster. So can I prove that it happened? No, there's just one case. Am I suspicious of it? Yes, because there wasn't anything else that made me think since the dog had been doing well. It could have just been coincidental. But the point was we wanted to have an exemption. We couldn't get it. But it really depends upon your state and the official you're dealing with. So it's always good to try to get that if you need that. You know, some of my clients, you know, their approach is, well, I'm not going to tell the officials anything if I don't need to.
Right.
Okay, that's fine. You know, sometimes being quiet is good.
The only thing I will say is that the incidence of rabies is not zero. There is rabies.
No.
And you don't have to. Just the other day on the Expert Vet with Donna Spector, the show on Monday, well, the other day being yesterday, come to think of it, wow, how time flies, that other day called Monday, the one right before Tuesday, she was talking about that rabies in bats is airborne, and that you do not have to have any physical contact with a rabid bat, of which there's a lot of bats with rabies, in order to get rabies, and that people who do climbing, that go into caves and do that kind of adventure hiking where a lot of bats are in these caves, they are exposed to rabies and
yes,
don't necessarily know it. So that's like, wow, scary. And it is a fatal disease, and I've always been very on the fence about it, and I did do the titer 1 year, and it was very expensive. VaxaCheck, which is one of our advertisers, isn't a test for rabies. It's a test for the core diseases that dogs' vaccinations may weaken from in time, and they may still be vulnerable. But I did
Let me tell you about VaxaCheck. Let me interrupt you just for a minute. We're talking about VaxaCheck. I actually had a chance to visit with Marty, who is the owner of VaxaCheck, when I was out in Phoenix, since they're headquartered out there. And I asked him about doing a rabies titer test, and this was his answer. There's no problem doing that. We could do that tomorrow, he told me. We could make the test. The problem is most state officials won't recognize that in place of a vaccine.
Oh.
So, Jim, there's no money to be made if we can't legally do it.
Right.
I think if we could all work together and convince the proper authorities to allow us to do titers, it could be done simply and much less expensively than
yes,
you could, because that had to go through a specific lab
in right,
the country that are state approved or nationally approved, and it's a big hassle. It's very expensive. But I think the technology is there where we could do this in our offices if legally we could do that in place of rabies vaccine, because I'd love to do that and offer titers for every shot I'm doing, not just distemper, parvo, or the feline respiratory viruses.
Yeah, that does make sense. And I thought that if you – of course, it is state by state. I thought if the titer showed that it was high enough or strong enough, that would take the place of a rabies vaccination. But I'll tell you the annoying thing is that I got Scooby revaccinated at age 9 because his titer was low. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, gosh, I've had this guy. When they first get him into the shelter, they have to give them rabies. And then I had to give it to him 3 years later. And then 3 years after that, I thought, well, he's going to be good to go. And his titer was low. I mean, you know, not
good. Yeah, it just depends
enough
upon each pet's immune response. And there's an example of why, even though we know vaccines can last a while, every pet is so different.
That's right.
That you've had pets that have vaccinated year after year, and lo and behold, their titer is low. And you're like, okay, well, they're not responding the way they should, so let me keep titering them, but do the vaccines as the titer tells me needs to be done.
Yeah, it really is. It's a case-by-case basis, but I do think that because we aren't that aware of those people that are lucky enough to live around vaccinated and very well looked after pets, we don't see the animals getting these horrible core diseases or getting rabies, but they're out there. And just like heartworm, they're out there, they're everywhere. And as animals move from the south to the northeast to be adopted and rescued, diseases come with them, like parvo. Many of them come already infected with heartworm. Obviously, that's not transmitted to another dog. But there are reasons for vaccines. And I know we always want to err on the side of not doing too much, which is genuinely one of the reasons I love VaxaCheck. But I can see now that that's for your peace of mind, whereas rabies really is the law needs to have peace of mind.
Yes.
I guess they can't be – I guess the law around that disease just doesn't have very much wiggle room most places. I have to read you an adorable email from somebody. And Deborah, we're going to get to you, so you just hang on. And anybody else that wants to call, we have time for you, so do not despair. 888-627-6008. But I just got a darling, very enthusiastic email this evening right before the show about our show. Hi, Tracy. I love the show. I switched my two kittens, Boo and Usagi, to eating nothing but canned food after I started listening to your show. It's made my kittens' coats so much better, but they keep meowing until they've gotten at least 3 5-ounce cans of wet food a day. That's 3 cans for each kitten. Is it normal for them to want to eat so much, or does a lingering effect from having kitty crack the first 3 months of their life? They're 8 months old now. They're parasite-free and, according to the vet, healthy, just overweight. Boo, the black kitten, is 18 pounds, and Usagi is 12 pounds. They both bounce all over the house in their playscape. She wants to know if she should feed them 1 can each a day and ignore their begging. He's been feeding them Halo Spots Pate and Blue Bubbler Spa Select, buying what's on sale. Good for her. I'm always a fan of that. It's all chicken, beef, or turkey, no fish because of all the mercury I've been hearing about. Could you please let me know? I'll be listening tonight. I wish I could call in, but I had to choose less phone minutes to keep these guys in food this month. Gosh, I have 1,000 questions, but I don't want to write you a novel. The problems of being a first-time cat mom, LOL. Thank you for your time and help. And also, thank you, thank you, thank you for airing this show with Dr. Sean. I keep learning new things every Tuesday, and I love it. And that is just an adorable email. So here's the thing. That's an awful lot of food. Kittens eat close to double the food of an adult cat, and at 8 months old, they're still kittens. So if an adult cat gets the equivalent of, let's say, one can a day, these guys are each having three cans a day. That's not really out of control. It's strange that they're overweight, and they are definitely overweight. 12 and 18 pounds is, I mean, unless these are Norwegian forest cats, which they're not, those are, I mean, 18 pounds is definitely overweight for a youngster of just like a domestic short hair cat. I'm not sure why they're, usually cats don't get fat on wet food. Their metabolism burns it up. It's the starches and the dry food and the kitty crack that makes them overweight. She's been to the vet, so she's eating herself Rice-A-Roni and taking great care of her cats by going to the vet. I don't know. It's not like dogs where you think they're probably stealing the baby's Cheerios. You know, cats don't really have a way to steal the human food and eat the Ritz crackers on the side. I don't know what to make of it. Certainly them wanting to eat a lot of food is costly and probably more protein than they need. One thing I'd suggest, because money is an issue, and I really appreciate someone, you know, giving only wet food to two cats, not just one, you can use any little bits of protein. They don't have to be cat-friendly. They don't have to be made for cats. They don't, I mean, whole-life pet treats are great, and those are pure human protein, freeze-dried, and those make a great treat, but after the sample, they're not free anymore. But if you had any little pieces of real protein, like as cheap as can be to get parts of a roast chicken. You can even use little pieces of beef if you want, little pieces of deli meat. Better to use fresh stuff that you just saute up. But you can give them lots of little pieces of protein, and that's very inexpensive. If you get a whole roast chicken and just give them little bits and pieces off of it, I mean, that can last you the whole week. If they just get a can a day each of costly, excellent food with all the taurine and all the added minerals and vitamins that they need in it, the rest of the diet to take up their meowing and hunger and growth spurts, which is what they're going through, can absolutely be just any protein that you have, little bits of fish. I mean, sardines are fabulous for them, but sardines aren't that inexpensive. I think a can is a buck and a half or something. And they're messy. They're smelly and messy. And every time I open sardines, the entire thing splashes on me. I have no idea why. It's me and sardines. It just happens. So I would recommend sauteing some chicken or roasting a chicken, giving them little bits of it. And we're glad you love the show, and we're glad you're out there listening. And I'm sorry that you don't have enough minutes to call us. We'd call you if we could. Here's the number, 888-627-6008. We have Deborah on the line. Deborah, welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk.
Thank you so much, Tracy and Dr. Sean. I just want to say how much I love your show. It's so great to get all this information. It's just wonderful for this two-hour period.
Well,
and
thank
I just
you
wanted
for
to thank
that.
You, Tracy. I wanted to thank you. I emailed you on your website, www.radiopetlady.com, and I asked you for some free samples, and I got them from Whole Life, and my dog loves them.
Oh, yummy. Excellent. Tell us about your dog.
Well, he's a little Jack Russell Beagle mix, and he's about 12 years old, and he's very finicky with his food. I don't know whether he was punished around food, but you put food down for him, and he'll kind of circle the bowl, and, you know, you have to really invite him to eat. And, you know, I've been working with him since I got him from rescue when he was a year old, and he's gotten a lot better, but he's very finicky, and so I waste money, I feel. I go out and buy these dog biscuits at the store that I think are healthy, and I bring them home, and they're like $5 a box or something, and he won't eat them, and I've just wasted that money. But these little treats I got to try out in little packages, and so far he's just scarfed them down.
Isn't that cool? I mean, that is the amazing thing about the Whole Life Pet Treats. They're costly, but you get a lot of them because they're so light as a feather. So you really get a lot more value than for biscuity kind of treats. And they're pure protein, and they're human grade. And it's like stuff you could absolutely eat yourself if you were in a pinch. It's very nice that it stimulates his appetite, because as dogs get older, especially these little fussy eaters, it really is discouraging to a dog mom that, you know, even that you go out of your way to get them something really supposedly high quality and pricey and good, and they just put their little nose up at it. This circling the food thing and this needing a gold-plated invitation to eat, I hate to tell you, I had one dog like that, and now two of the three are like this. Okay, so one puts his head in the bowl and comes up with his whole nose covered with green because part of his meal is the Honest Kitchen, which is full of parsley and herbs and spinach and stuff. So he's done, and the other two are waiting for him to finish because he's like the older guy. But you only have one dog, right? So you don't have like another dog he has to wait for.
No.
The other one, I take her over to the bowl. I put a little extra fish oil on top. I squirt her Medicam on it. I sprinkle a little bit of Devour on top. I put a little anything special I can think of on top. And she looks at me like, yeah, and? I'm like, please, eat it. It's the worst feeling. And then you think, okay, she's not hungry. But she really is. But it's some neurotic thing about when they're allowed to eat in their mind. And I used to think somebody must have – I thought they'd beat her. If she ate the food, that they would torture her, because she was two when I adopted her. Some of them just have this food neurosis about when they'll eat, how they'll eat. Do they want to be private? Do they want you to sit and keep them company? I don't know. I try it every which way. Have you tried the keep them company thing, or the, okay, eat on your own, I promise not to look?
Yeah, I almost have to taunt him. He used to have a brother, and his brother's since dead, and I used to say, I mean, it was just another dog in the household, and I would say, okay, Jarvis is going to come, Jarvis is here, and then that will drive him to go and eat his food, but
it's funny, because with Jazzy, when Teddy, who won't eat until Scooby is completely finished and laid down, then Teddy will get up and eat his own food, because the older brother has to completely finish and prove that he's okay before the youngsters can eat, which no one ever told him. He'll go over towards Jazzy's food, and she'll growl at him and lie down next to her food, but she still won't eat it. I don't know. If we had children, we would turn out to have the most anorexic, bulimic, messed up children, is all I can assure you. Luckily, it's only dogs, and they eventually do eat. But we're thrilled to have your call. It's really nice of you. I would like, since we haven't had any cat callers tonight, but I like to give out a little prize or two on every show, because we're so happy being a new show when people are calling us and finding us and being enthusiastic. It means a great deal to Dr. Sean and me. So I would like to send you the very special little mini leash bookmark that fits inside the dog Bible. Now, if you don't have the dog Bible yet, you can decide whether or not you want to fix that. But you'll get the darling little mini leash bookmark that is like a little tiny mini leash with a little clip on the end. And it fits perfectly in the dog Bible, but it probably would be a good bookmark for almost any book you might have. So if you would write back to me and send me your email address again, I will mail one off to you, because I'd be delighted to keep you attached to us going forward. We'll be thrilled. Every time you open the book with that in it, you'll think, oh, it's Tuesday night. I must listen to the show.
That's great. I will do that. But I had one other question for Dr. Sean.
Oh, good.
Sure.
I take myself Norwegian salmon oil every day, and I was wondering, and it has the omega-3s in it. Can I give a little bit of that to my dog?
Absolutely. That'd be fine.
The other thing you can do, because it comes with the correct dosing for him, which is an issue with dogs, to give the correct amount, not too little and not too much, is the Nordic Naturals makes a small bottle that has a dosing cap with an eyedropper, because he's little, right? He's what, 15-something, 20 pounds?
Yeah, he's about 21 pounds.
Well, you can use this. It's really for cats and very small dogs. Or you can give Nordic Naturals in the bottle, and it says the teaspoon per pounds of dog. So you aren't just estimating. Like Sean was saying early in the show when he was talking to Jessica, who works in the lab that tests people's and blood levels for the omega-3s and other things, a lot of this is guesswork, except for the the Nordic Naturals has figured out the amount of that oil for the pounds of the dog. So I would highly recommend it as a way to be sure that you're giving him the full amount. And it is a really good health tonic, no doubt about it. And good that you're taking it, too. We should all.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you, too, so much. And I'm just thrilled to have you.
Well, you're very dear to say that. And we're thrilled to have you out there. Tell all your friends to listen. And when I send you the mini leash bookmark, I'll send you some cards to pass out amongst all of your dog crazy friends. We hope you have a lot of dog crazy friends because we're depending
on. I have a lot.
Excellent. That's what we depend on around here, is that people are as dog crazy and cat crazy as we are. Thanks a lot, Deborah. Really appreciate the call. It means a lot. Have a great night. All right, so we're going to go off for a break, Sean. And when we come back, I have some more of your emails that came to you that I'm very interested in your answers. Well, I'll tell you when we get back. We'll be back in just a moment, folks. We're going to go off for a break, and we're going to be back with a few fascinating answers from Dr. Sean, the Natural Vet. This show is also brought to you by Whole Life Pet, a family-owned and run company that makes treats for dogs and cats from one pure protein, human-grade, antibiotic-free poultry, meat, fish, and cheese that is sustainably grown and harvested. They never use additives, chemicals, or preservatives. The small batches of treats are made by hand in their state-of-the-art freeze-drying machines. Whole Life Pet personally knows the providers of all their ingredients, a concept they call farm to friend. All their products are sourced, produced, and packaged in the United States, assuring quality and safety, along with the support for the American economy. Everyone who listens to this show is welcome to a free box of Whole Life Pet treat samples. Just send me your mailing address to radiopetlady@gmail.com. Precious Cat Litter is privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health. His renowned Cat Attract litter has a blend of herbs which entice cats into the litter box and overcome litter box problems, the number one problem people have. Cat Attract has saved thousands of cats' lives because it's often used by rescue groups to teach cats to use their litter box again, since that's the main reason people have given up on them. Respiratory relief litter is low dust for pussycats with asthma, which makes it healthy for people and other pets in the family, too. Senior and long-haired cat litters protect the health and comfort of those pussycats. Precious Cat donates litter to shelters and rescues across the country. Dr. Sean's online store, PetCareNaturally.com, has many of the supplements Dr. Sean mentions on the show. He also has feel-away for cats and adaptable diffusers and collars for dogs, the full-strength products you will find only from a veterinarian. Dr. Sean has his own veterinary clinic in Texas where he practices integrative holistic medicine, and he can consult with your vet to help you integrate a more holistic approach and alternative medicine into your pet's care. Dr. Sean has also developed a number of healthy natural products for his patients, like itch relief shampoo, all-natural herbal earwash, olive leaf plus, and CI support, supplements to support the immune system for pets with cancers and immune diseases. Go to RadioPetLady.com to get the 10% off code for Dr. Sean's store at PetCareNaturally.com and take advantage of monthly specials. Speaking of which, there was an email that you got, Dr. Sean. And, guys, this is coming towards the end of the show. So if you're out there thinking, I'd like to chat with them too, now's the time to get your dialing finger organized. 888-627-6008. A gal called in, Michelle, and she called about her dog that had benign hyperplasia of the liver. And then she said she has a cat with epilepsy. I'm taking her for a second opinion. There may be a better medication than phenobarbital. She's only 8 years old. We've been battling this for 3 years. I'm very interested in your Collodin Feline. What are the ingredients in this product? Now, is this a product that you've created, Sean?
No, this is actually one that's on my website, PetCareNaturally.com, that you can just buy. There's a link there to take you directly to the company. It's a phosphatidylcholine lecithin supplement. Spoke a lot about it this weekend at our vet conference in Phoenix. So it's something that I think all epileptic patients should take. I think it's something that all senior pets or even middle-aged, I usually start at 5 years of age and older, dogs and cats should take. Because we're trying to basically prevent Alzheimer's in dogs and cats and provide liver support and pancreas support, nervous system support. So I think it's a really good, inexpensive, chewable little treat. My dog and cats take it and just love it, and they do pretty well with it. So I think it's a good, if you want to call it a middle-aged to senior pet vitamin supplement, in addition to any other vitamins or the Nordic Naturals, the fish oils we talk about, et cetera.
So it's collagen. That's a supplement. That's the name of the supplement. I'm just not familiar.
Yeah, it's
with
actually pronounced it's collodin, but it's a choline supplement, and really is an easy supplement. It's something that's not in most geriatric pet supplements, but it's something that's one of my favorite natural things to do for seizures, Alzheimer's disease, diabetes, liver disease, wow, et cetera. Usually, I combine it with other products, but that's a good starting point.
And is this something that even in your office, you just say to people, go online to my website, to my store?
Or they can buy it at the office, either way.
Okay. But if someone's going to buy it off of PetCareNaturally.com and get that fabulous discount by going to RadioPetLady.com to find out the secret discount, that's what I think I should do it. I have two seniors, and they're not acting Alzheimer's-y, but it's really sad when dogs and cats begin to get kind of gaga. And this would help keep that from happening?
Now, the only thing I will tell you is, because that's another company's product, our discount doesn't apply. That's only for the Dr. Sean's product.
Oh,
but
good to
they
know.
They can still get, because they're ordering it from the company. I won't even know that you ordered it. It didn't come directly to me.
Oh, I see. Okay, so it's really just a link for people to tell them where to buy this good thing, because you think this company makes the best version of collodin?
Well, they make the only version of it, so I really, really like it.
Oh,
like,
really?
It's my website, and you click on that. It's under recommended supplements. All those products under recommended supplements go directly to the company you're buying from the company at prices they set. If you go to the Dr. Sean's Natural store on PetCareNaturally.com, you'll get the discount. If you go to Tracy's website, RadioPetLady.com, then you'll get the discount for our store, and it'll ask you for the discount code. And that's all the products we created, the fatty tumor formula, the herbal supports for the immune system or the liver, arthritis, all that's on my site. So it's two different things, because one is my products, one is somebody else's products.
I see, but no one but this one company makes this collagen? That's it? They're the ones who make it?
Yes.
Wow. So they've got the market cornered. Why don't we come out with the cat chat and dog talk? We could start a whole – come on. We already did start
that,
a business.
Right.
Yeah, never mind. I guess it's really not the business to be in. Okay. So there's – so that's good to know. So we should be doing – what about for people? Is this a supplement that's people-friendly as well?
You can use it for people, but for people with Alzheimer's, they don't respond as well. So phosphatidylserine supplements usually work better.
I mean us, before we get Alzheimer's. I want to prevent it.
Oh, you can do that, although when they're looking at the treatment of Alzheimer's, the choline doesn't work as well. So I don't know that the choline is going to work as well as the preventive for people, but it doesn't hurt. It's a B vitamin, so it doesn't hurt to take it.
Is there anything that you know of that does work for people?
Well, phosphatidylserine, omega-3 fatty acids like the Nordic Naturals, resveratrol, and other antioxidants are really, really good things to help maintain a healthy central nervous system to minimize the chance of Alzheimer's. And vitamin D. I don't want to forget about vitamin D as well.
Oh, vitamin D. But not vitamin D3 exactly, just vitamin D generally?
No, it's vitamin D3.
D3, because that's something that Nordic makes in a gummy. But I didn't know, am I supposed to eat my gummy D3? So D3, in addition to your full – like everyday vitamins, D3
correct,
in addition. And resveratrol is the ingredient in red wine, is that right?
Correct.
So how much red wine do you drink a day, just asking?
Well, if I'm doing the show, probably quite a bit. I had a very nice Pinot Noir before the show began, which is why I'm very relaxed. But I also try to take resveratrol on a regular basis too.
You do, in a capsule?
Yeah, mm-hmm, I do.
Can it be very can people take too much of it? My stepmother gave my father, who's 96, some massive amounts of it, and he was sick as a dog. I mean, I don't know how much she gave him. Like,
got to be careful with.
Right? I mean, you take it a little easy with that?
You know, you got to follow recommended doses. I'd have to look at the dosing on my resveratrol. I think it's between 250 and 500 milligrams a day, which is adequate for most people. Obviously, you can go higher if you've got illnesses. But you did bring up a good point. You can overdose on supplements. And
yes.
Supplements like vitamin D, if you take too much, you know, you can die from that. So you need to work with a naturopath to find out the best dosing and form of these supplements.
So many things, you can't just sort of guesstimate it yourself. There really is some logical.
You go with a medical person.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. All right, so here's an incredibly long letter. Well, there was something actually more that Linda said, who was asking about the rabies vaccinations, which was a good question. But then she mentioned something else, which is clearly doggy Alzheimer, and she seemed to be connecting it to rabies vaccinations, which is sort of irrelevant, unless she was just having a run-on thought. She said she has these two Jack Russell mixed rescues that are 9 and 12 years old. The female, who we think is 12, is starting to do silly things like leap over 4 steps when going down the stairs, which means she's falling on her head probably, or jumping over the padded bench at the end of the bed. The bench is there to help them when exiting from the bed. So in other words, she doesn't step down and she just kind of misses it. She's always used it until recently. This is the sad thing. Sometimes she stands in the corner of the doorway where the hinges are when she wants to go out that door. Then she says her rabies shot isn't due. I'm wondering if she should get any more. But a vaccination and Alzheimer's are two different things. But when a dog becomes trapped in a corner, trapped because they can't figure out how to turn around and leave the corner,
yes,
or they're facing, after living with you their whole life, not the door handle side of the door, but the hinge side, that just totally freaks me out, because then, you know, they've lost touch with their reality. They don't remember how to go down the stairs. They become that person with missing pieces, right?
That's right. And if her dog has cognitive disorder, Alzheimer's, then it really doesn't need any more vaccines, because those can certainly hurt the nervous system. So we don't want to do that.
But
this dog would benefit from the collodion we've been talking about, and the Nordic Naturals, and a bunch of other things.
Because the brain is already kind of, the gray cells are not, the gray matter, the brain cells are just not up to snuff. They're not firing properly. Is that what we might say?
Yeah, and probably missing a little acetylcholine, and we may have some actual brain damage like people with Alzheimer's do.
Have you ever had a dog that got to that point? I had a dog who lived to the point where he couldn't remember what he'd eaten. He wouldn't eat the food when it was put down because he didn't recognize it as food. Then he'd eat and then be starving like half an hour later. He'd stare at the wall. He'd sit and just stare at the wall. He'd suddenly
pets like that, but I have had patients like that. And once again, if you're going to your doctor regularly, your pet shouldn't be getting that way. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, we see this dog that's, or a cat that's very far gone. That should have been brought to a doctor's attention a long time ago. And with a reminder, just because we're talking about cognitive disorder does not mean every dog or cat that acts this way has cognitive disorder. Some have diabetes, kidney failure, thyroid, real common. So you have to treat the right disease.
So you have to eliminate the knowledge of any of those diseases before you say, okay, then it must be doggy Alzheimer's.
Yes, and it doesn't hurt to treat any of those pets with collodion, but if you have a dog with hypothyroidism, they're not going to get better until you give them some steroid. You still need the other products, the collodion, but we need to do something more than just that.
And I think that fits into the idea that we've mentioned a couple of times, the idea that you need to go to the doctor and have blood tests, and that when you, Sean, are doing a dental cleaning on a dog, you already know the dog. You already know the dog's health condition and state because the dog's seen you once a year and had the workup, the checkup.
Right. And actually, in our practice, what we do is pets 5 and older, we try to see twice a year. So we're catching these problems before they get that way. You know, we see so many pets, if you wait 6 months between visits or longer than 6 months, you may have some very, very serious problems that we shouldn't be having.
That fall particularly into the area of kidney, liver, right? I mean,
liver, heart, cognitive disorder, sometimes.
Yeah. What do you do about heart problems? Do you find as dogs and cats get older, they develop heart problems?
They develop them more when they get older. You know, my little dog Rita, our Cavalier, she developed heart disease 4 years ago. She was supplements, and then 2 years ago, she went into heart failure, which is different from heart disease. Maybe on our show next week, we can talk more about that.
I'd love to.
But basically, she's now treated with supplements plus low-dose medication.
So funny, because heart failure sounds like the animal must therefore be dead. Their heart failed. Your heart has to be working to be alive. But that's sort of like saying kidney failure. Lots of animals are alive with kidney failure, even though it sounds like their kidneys failed, in which case they would be dead if they had fully failed. It's just a funny word, right? It means heart disease.
The heart disease has progressed, and now the heart's not pumping as well as it should, so it needs a little bit more help.
So next week we're going to discuss the difference between heart failure and heart disease. They are two different things?
Yes.
Really? So heart failure is what follows from having heart disease, I would guess.
Correct. And what that means is if you bring your pet in with heart failure and didn't know it had heart disease,
right.
Once again, why not? Why is this a surprise? Why haven't we been following heart disease and treating these pets with heart disease for some time before they become heart failure dogs and cats?
And then you do have breeds that are more susceptible to various problems. Aren't Cavalier. Yeah, Cavalier King Charles Spaniels are quite famous for heart disease, heart murmurs, right? Heart
That's
problems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's a person with one of those letters. It goes on and on and on. I don't see what her name is. I sort of just cut. Oh, Mindy. Okay, so this is a situation to just sort of close out the hour of someone who it feels like their animal problem and animal life is kind of out of control, and it's people that have animals they can't really afford and they haven't figured out what to do about it. She says, this is Mindy. My friend I'm currently visiting has a sick cat. He's 12. He vomits his food and has diarrhea sometimes. He's very thin and hungry all the time. She's been giving him silver. Is that colloidal silver?
That's what I'm guessing, yeah.
Oy, as they say. And at first he seemed to respond to it. Now he doesn't seem to be making a difference. She is wary of taking him to the vet as she prefers holistic care for herself, but is worried about the cost. So there's a 12-year-old cat who is incredibly ill, vomiting, diarrhea, very thin, hungry all the time, but she's worried about the cost. Well, really, I have to say about responsible pet ownership, it's something you got to plan for and be prepared for and put some money aside for, and certainly not take on other pets or other obligations if you can't even be clear about the one. So this woman, Mindy, I made him some rice so he'd eat and put a little bit of chicken in it, which, by the way, rice is not going to keep a cat alive. She wants to know your fees for a new cat appointment and any suggestions you have until then. Do you get this sort of email? It's like, my animal is disastrously ill. I've never been to a vet because I don't really think I can afford one. Can you give me some free advice about this problem? And you've never set eyes on my cat, never took a blood test, never put your hands on it.
Well, I think what I actually told her was, call me, we'll set up a phone consult so I can help you, and we'll probably need to find somebody locally for you to do some of the things I'm going to recommend, like some of the different testing, et cetera.
Yeah, she wanted a list of pricing. And doctor's availability.
Well, there's no way to even give somebody a price
list. Of course not.
You can talk with them and try to do something for them.
It just seems, I just have to say that to anybody who would write into Dr. Sean to get some free medical advice, I could see how you wouldn't think it was an imposition to ask a couple of questions, which from now on, with any luck, people will understand they can really ask on the air and it wouldn't be an imposition.
Yes.
We'd be delighted. But to talk about a serious medical problem with absolutely no facts and not having gotten even the basic information and then expect somebody, it wouldn't even be appropriate or legal or intelligent or ethical for you to give an opinion about something that all you know is that this cat's very ill, extremely ill, no doubt about it.
Sure. No, you can't do that.
It seems, I don't know. Sometimes I'm just amazed at people's kind of blithe attitude towards a doctor. Would they do that with a human doctor? You're no different than a human doctor.
Well, they probably wouldn't get an answer from a human doctor, that's for sure.
They certainly wouldn't, but I don't think they'd be just quite, you know, hi, I have a friend vomiting, diarrhea, barely eats. I gave him some rice tonight. I don't know about vets or doctors, and I don't know if I can afford one. Can you give me some good suggestions about how to deal with it? It's like, can you imagine someone doing that with a human doctor?
Yeah.
Sometimes I just think it's kind of amazing. Okay, so here's we're only 3 minutes to the music, so I cannot give you the whole story about the puggle. The dad was a puggle and the mom was a beagle, and a super allergic dog, and he's become resistant to antibiotics. The only question I want to ask you with just the couple of minutes left is, a dog does not become resistant to antibiotics, right? I mean, unless they're not.
Well, technically, you're right. Now, if the antibiotics were being misused,
yes,
certainly the bacteria. bacteria in the dog's body could become resistant. Now, once again, in our practice, we use very few antibiotics. I tend to use a lot of natural therapies, some of which you can get with our 10% discount code through Radio Pet Lady. The big one is Olive Leaf Plus. That's a wonderful natural antibacterial, antifungal product that I use pretty much in place of antibiotics, not for serious problems, but for many of the ear infections, bladder infections, skin infections. We don't need to poison these pets with all these drugs.
Or give them inappropriate, where people, there's no way this dog is resistant to, the dog isn't resistant to antibiotics, the bacteria is. But the fact is that if you give the full dose of them, that's the problem, is that people get an antibiotic and it does or doesn't work, and they give it for a week or 7 days, and it's meant to be given for 21 days. And if you don't give it for the full time, what you allow those bacteria to do is grow very, very strong and powerful, because the ones who aren't killed off by the first days of the antibiotic will be able to resist it and become resistant to it because they've gotten strong. You've killed off the weak ones and left the strong ones to survive and thrive. So that's something that people really need to know. If you've gotten to a point where your pet did need antibiotics, you have to give it to the very last day of the prescription, or the day may come that the bacteria that you didn't kill off but just got dormant or quiet will never be able to be conquered.
That's right.
MRSA. One of my dogs had MRSA and had to do 21 days of a antibiotic called Xyla something, was $300. Yeah, they're not cheap. So everybody, if you've got antibiotics, eat them to the very last one. Thank you, Dr. Sean, for a wonderful show. We will talk to you guys next week. Have a wonderful night. Finish off the rest of the bottle of Pinot Noir now.
Sure.
All right. Goodbye.